Hi, I'm Allison Albert Ward, and when I'm not helping your four-legged friends have the cutest pet costumes ever, I'm listening to the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank.
Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank. I'm your host, Mary Foley, and this is episode 10. In each episode, we talk with experts right here in the New Orleans area who share their insights, recommendations, and expertise to help you grow your business. If this is the first time listening, well, welcome. And if you've listened before, welcome back. And the good news is there are more episodes right now at fidelitybankpower.com. You can get all of them also right on your phone, so you can listen anytime. You just go to fidelitybankpower.com and click on the app icons to download either the iTunes app if you have an iPhone or the Stitcher app if you have an Android phone. Then you click on the app, create a free account, and you can start listening anytime, anywhere. And you don't want to miss my conversation with Fidelity Bank CEO Chris Ferris, or Emily Purvis, who shared her empowering ideas to market your business. I mean, really great practical stuff. And now for today's guest. Today, we're talking with Allison Albert Ward, pet lover, creator, and owner of Pet Crew, an e-commerce site with pet outfits for your dog or your cat that are a ton of fun. As she says, there are plenty of pet e-commerce sites out there that are run by people who wear expensive suits with no pet hair on them. But Pet Crew is run by an experienced pet lover who's her whole life knows a thing or two about people and animals and how they like to be treated, pet hair and all. Allison, welcome to the Power Plug Podcast.
Thanks, Mary.
And I did mean that you know, you have quite the website. In fact, petcrew.com, which is PETKREWE.com is really fun, and you immediately understand what you offer when you see it, okay? And I encourage everyone who's listening to go there. But right now, we're talking and we're not looking at a website. So describe to everyone what your business is about.
So Pet Crew is a fully integrated pet costume company where I design the costumes after researching what people are looking for. I fill in that creative void. I sell a prototype, I send it to my factories, and then I distribute it through my revenue channels, which are both wholesale and direct to consumer.
Wow. Sounds like you have got this process down, which is great. I love that. Fully integrated pet costume business. What I want to understand, though, is how you make all that happen, especially design and the production part, because that's something we can all learn from and can help our individual businesses. So let's kind of start from the beginning. You said you do some research, you pick out outfits. How do you choose what kind of outfits to create, and then who exactly designs them?
So that's a great question. What I do is I use Google Analytics, and I can search, just type in dog costume. And then you will see millions and millions of searches for mermaid dog costume, unicorn dog costume, whatever it may be that people are looking for. So I look to see what is the highest demand that people are searching for. And then I look online and I see if anyone created this costume or concept idea yet. And most of the time, they haven't. So I go home, I sew a prototype just on my own sewing machine, and then I send it to my factories for replication.
So, okay, that's brilliant, because you are doing your research up front and then you're finding what the demand is, but then where it's not being met.
So when I'm searching for what to create next, where is the demand, I'm looking for the biggest bang for my buck. I want to know that this is something that people need and that they want. And that's how I know that my product is going to be hot. For example, our Lion Mane costume, which was our first costume that we took to market, after we took it to market about a year later, Amazon launched their first viral commercial using a Lion Mane for their dog. And that's really when we realized that we were onto something big here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and who knows? Did they use one of your costumes for that commercial? Do you have any idea? I guess.
Well, we don't know for sure, but we can only speculate.
That's right. But the point is that you were onto the demand, and that's what we all want to know. What do our customers want? What do they say they want? What do we think they're going to want? Okay, so you've figured out through this process, what are the designs? You've done a prototype. Now, of course, if you made them all yourself, you couldn't quickly make enough of them to probably create a profitable business. So you said then at that point, once you've done a prototype, you said you send them off to be replicated, right? So tell us, how do you get all these costumes created? Tell us a little more about that.
So when I started the company, I actually tried to do it myself, which I learned very quickly that that's not profitable. So I grew up in an Amish community, and I went home to see what is the labor market there, and how much would it cost for somebody to create in mass my costumes? The labor was not the issue. The issue is sourcing my fabric, because all costume fabrics are now manufactured overseas. So that then, after learning about that, I had to quickly turn around and find somebody overseas where these fabrics are being made to have it produced.
Okay, so you go overseas. Now, did you specifically go to China? Because that's kind of like the biggest overseas country doing this kind of work, or was it another country?
I interviewed several countries and several factories in the different countries, and I found out that almost all costume designed fabrics are in China. So that's why I chose to use China for production.
Okay. Now, and we see made in China stamped on all kinds of products, you know, that we use here in the United States. So now I'm really curious. Take a step by step through the process of finding and working with a manufacturer in China. Because, I mean, it's a big country. I wouldn't even know where to start.
So I was introduced to Alibaba.com several years ago. And when I started Pet Crew, I, of course, didn't search there first. I went back home and saw if I could use the Amish to make my costumes. And after I realized that I couldn't, on Alibaba.com, you can put out a request for a proposal, and you can receive hundreds or thousands of RFPs from different factories. And it was from there that I started to reach out to each factory individually, and I sent them pictures of my first prototype. And I asked them, can you create this? What is your cost per unit? And what is your production time, your lead time from the time I order to the time I'm going to receive it? And it was through that experience that I was able to quickly weed out the ones who were serious and the ones who were not serious, and who was trying to swindle me and who wasn't trying to swindle me.
Okay, but there's this, you know, the first thing that pops in my mind is, well, do they speak English? Were you speaking with an English-speaking Chinese person, or was it an English person that was in China? How did that part work from a language point of view?
The language issue wasn't really a barrier. Most Chinese value an overseas education in their master's programs, typically in English-speaking countries, like the UK or the US. So they learn English when they go back to China, and they're easy to hire because every factory needs that translator.
How could you determine who was really not only the best person to work with, but the most honest person or an honest person to work with?
Well, it was pretty straightforward. If I asked for example, using the lion mane, and I asked, hey, what is your lead time? And they said, 2 weeks, I knew that was unrealistic. Mm-hmm. If they said 45 days, I thought that's more realistic. Mm-hmm. And then when they gave me the price and they said $10 per unit, I thought that's insane because I could sell it much cheaper myself, and I'm importing fabric from China. So you can automatically go down the road to see who's telling the truth, who's just trying to get a larger profit off of you.
Mm-hmm. Do they have the equivalent of online reviews there to say this is a good manufacturer to work with? just like you order something on Amazon and you're going, okay, is that a good fulfillment house? I'm just curious.
Well, on Alibaba, they have different ratings like Gold Star Standard, Bronze Stars. And some of it, I don't fully rely upon what Alibaba's rating is. You can get that rating through an interaction and asking for pictures of the factory, of the workers. You can get a better feel for who you're working with. And I chose to go with an all-woman-run factory, and their labor union was, interestingly enough, unionized. So all the workers were cared for.
order. Let's go back to like to your very first order. And I bet you were kind of like, man, crossing my fingers, crossing my toes, crossing my legs. Hope this works, right? Tell us about that first experience.
Well, I had two first experiences. I hired two companies for two small quantities, testing them out.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I learned the hard way on one of the two, where I was swindled and they did take my money. But on the other one, it was fine. Our relationship bloomed, and since then, they've been my manufacturer for the last 2.5 years.
Wow. You know what? That's really smart. You did two smaller orders, and you knew, therefore, you contained the risk, right? And you got to see who's gonna be reliable and who's going to earn my trust. So when you also got the product, the one company that didn't swindle you, that delivered on promise, you also are going, well, let me see the quality. So you had to check that out too. I bet that was a factor.
Correct.
Yeah.
So after I took pictures of my prototype, I would see what they would create in response before I shipped them a prototype. And then once I receive it, they usually use DHL.
Mm-hmm.
Once I receive the product, I check the quality, I check the fabric and the Pantone number, which is the dye color of polyester blended faux fur. And I gave my approval.
Wow. It sounds pretty straightforward then. Were you surprised it was this simple?
It
sounds simple. Yeah.
I was. I mean, there's a lot of research going on and a lot of conversations. And with a 13-hour time difference between New Orleans and Guangzhou, where I'm working, there's some delay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So time is not on your side when you're working with that type of time difference.
And about how long from the time you started reaching out for these RFPs on Alibaba.com to getting your first order, full order that you could sell on your site, about how long was that process?
The whole process was about 75 days.
Okay. So 2.5 months-ish. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Gives a sense of it. So like today you have an ongoing relationship with a manufacturer. How long when you place an order is it for you to actually get that to arrive here in the U.S. for you to sell?
40 days.
Wow. This sounds fantastic. I know many of us have service-based businesses, but many of us also have businesses that have a product like this and need some manufacturing. So this is really great to know. Well, Allison, this is also fascinating. We need to take a quick break. So let's press pause. But when we come back, I've got some more questions for you. So hold on. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, in charge of power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman in business, you know that it all comes down to great relationships with your customers, employees, suppliers, and your bank. That's why we're excited about our new Power Program. We have designed to meet not only your financial needs to grow your business, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our online Power Member Directory, member-only Facebook group, sponsored events, or more, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley, and today we're talking with Allison Albert Ward, pet lover, creator, and owner of PetCrew.com, an e-commerce site with a lot of really cute pet outfits. Now, Allison, you walked us through how you source from a manufacturer in China. Given your experience, what are some of the most common mistakes that people make when they go through this process? Because we want to avoid them if we want to pursue the same.
So I learned the hard way, and I will give you three tips that I learned the hard way and how to avoid them in the future. The first one is, if you're ordering from Alibaba, Alibaba has a pay-through security site. Always use that when you're first working with a manufacturer. Do not send a PayPal and do not wire money from your bank. Alibaba gives you protection only if you use their pay site. Number two, I would say, if you found that you made a purchase, let's say it's quoted at just $1,000, and halfway through your purchase, you gave a 30% deposit for them to start, and all of a sudden the factory comes back and says, oh, actually it's going to be $2,000 in order for us to finish it, you're being swindled. And you need to stay firm and say, no, we agreed to this price. And if they disagree with you and they refuse services, that's when you can file a complaint with Alibaba and receive a refund of your deposit. And then the third thing, I would say get as many quotes from as many different companies as you possibly can. And you will read the language and you will quickly know who's the real deal and who is not.
Those are really great. So, you know, that one where you were saying that if you pay a deposit and then you're not satisfied and you're trying to get swindled and you're like, nope, we're done here. The fact that you paid through, you put that deposit through Alibaba, they obviously are, they're securing it for you. It sounds like that they're going to give you a guarantee that, you would get your money back, right?
Correct.
But only if you pay through them, it sounds like.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. You know, in that situation, it sounds like, oh, isn't that nice? Alibaba's being nice. But actually, I'm thinking to myself, manufacturers who renege on their price, they're not going to get many RFPs then through Alibaba. Alibaba may be going, listen, you're a liability. You're costing us too much. You're not doing good business. You're off the site. That's kind of what they can hold out as to try and guarantee it. Makes a lot of sense. Can we do that in the United States? That would be fun. Okay, that'd be helpful.
I wish.
I know, exactly. Okay, so those three really practical things to keep in mind. Now, I know that your business depends on successful manufacturing from companies on the total other side of the world. So I'm curious from your point of view, what's the most challenging part of just making that relationship that you already have with the manufacturer continue to work?
Being very clear and concise in what you're asking for. And I'll give you one example. I asked for a hang tag on a product, and I didn't specify where I wanted the hang tag. They attached it to a plastic bag with a product inside. So you have to be extremely clear with what you mean. And if you can, provide a sample or a picture of another product that you're looking for the similar look.
Yeah, so picture's kind of worth 1,000 words in that moment right there.
Or 1,000 units.
Yeah, 1,000 units, that's right, which could cost way more than $1,000. So,
yes.
Yeah, okay. It's something you wouldn't necessarily even think of, right? But it's a potentially just be a communication or a cultural difference that you're not even considering. Mm-hmm. Is it? Okay.
That is correct.
Oh, my gosh. So that seems very solvable, though. But so this ongoing communication in terms of understanding the English or being understanding, you know, just being reliable in other ways, for you, it's been a really good experience, it sounds like.
I've had a very positive experience, and my relationship with my vendor is excellent. I look forward to many more years with her and working together to create new designs and finding fun fabrics to do that with.
Yeah, and you hope nothing happens for her to go away. It's your business, right? Would you ever, just for the sake of having some, I don't know, ready-to-go plan B, start a second relationship with the manufacturer just in case you know something happens to the first one?
Yes, and I'm actually looking right now into different manufacturers in Honduras and Mexico, because they produce cotton fabrics in those two countries, and I can use the cotton fabrics for some of my new lines that I'm coming out with this fall.
Oh, okay. And is that also sourced through Alibaba?
No, that is sourced. You can go to their different country websites. I don't know what it reads in English, but in Spanish, they have a list of all sorts of different manufacturers that you can contact and speak with.
Okay. And now, is the process the same pretty much, or is it just country specific?
I am focusing more on country specific for the more stable countries in South America and North America, if you include Mexico.
Right. Okay. Now, did you make that decision to try a different country because the fabric with the cotton, or was it something else?
It was something else. On our national landscape, there is a fear of tariffs that may be imposed on Asian countries. So I'm looking to manufacture in countries that serve as a less risk at our national level.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. Well, which is also smart. I mean, as a business person, we always have to be thinking, what are external factors to our business that can directly impact our business? And mm-hmm. do we need to have an alternative? You know, it's just smart. And we, you know, I'm big on, you got to thrive on change. Change is going to happen. We can complain about it, but right. it's going to happen. So why not be proactive and think of alternatives? Okay. It sounds like, however, in this situation for you, you're going to need Spanish or somebody who knows Spanish to do a little bit of interpreting for you.
Actually, I was pretty fortunate in the area that I grew up in. It was very rural. And I worked on farms and I learned Spanish. And then when I moved into restaurants as a server, I could speak Spanish with the cooks in the back. And it wasn't an issue.
Wow.
For me to research, for a Spanish-speaking country.
Fantastic. Good for you. Well, I only know how to speak French fries pretty much that came out of it. But wow, good for you. All right, I want to switch gears for a moment. And the successful business you've created in just such a short period of time really is amazing. In fact, I forgot to mention that I think it's been, how long? 2 years that you've been up and running from your idea to now your full website?
Yes, it's been 2 years. And to give you a fun fact, we project at the end of this year, we'll pass our $1 million revenue since inception. And that's a feat that only 2% of women entrepreneurs can ever claim.
Wow. Congratulations. That is impressive.
Thank you.
It also
Thank
means
you.
There's a lot of cute dogs and cats out there. I am telling you, they're cuter than ever. You have got to go to petcrew.com and take a look at them. In fact, I have to ask you, what are some of the best selling costumes that you have?
Hands down, our number one is the lion mane, mainly because of the Amazon commercial and a few other Reddit pictures that went viral. Mm-hmm. And then our second top seller is our unicorn costume. I hand dyed the faux polyester fur to represent a rainbow, and they are just taking off like crazy because we were the first to market with unicorn costumes.
Oh my gosh. And unicorns are really big this year, period, right? I mean, they're just...
Oh, hands down.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, here you got lions and unicorns all over the place and a lot because of you. Now, there are really, really cute dogs and cats who are on your website with the costumes on. Okay, so who are the dog and cat models? Because they are super cute.
Well, as part of our business model, we give 10% of our profits back to animal shelters. And with that being said, all of our models, all of our dog models come from animal shelters here in New Orleans.
Oh,
we go in there, we dress the pet up, and we take their picture, and their picture serves as their gotcha adoption picture.
Oh my gosh, do they get adopted more quickly because they have on a cute outfit?
They do.
I'm going to start putting on cute outfits then. I don't know. If I weren't a unicorn, I'm not sure I'd get the right thing attracted that I want. But anyway, oh my gosh, that is so great that those are your cat and your dog models. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's so funny, their expressions to me, you know, that when animals, when you put on an outfit, do you get a sense that they think that this is fun or cool or, you know, do they change in their demeanor at all when you put on that outfit?
Yes. So in the shelter, most animals are just happy to be outside of the cage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we play with them, warm them up, get them into the costume, give them treats and reward them with putting on a costume. So it's kind of like a positive reinforcement of, if you wear this, you get treats. And you get more scratches and love and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns into a positive reinforcement routine. And one of my dogs is a failed model dog, and I ended up adopting her, Blanche. Every time I go into her costume closet and I pull out a costume for her to wear, she sits down, her tail starts wagging, she licks her lips, she's ready for her costume. She jumps in, and I swear her chest pops out 2 inches because she's so happy and proud. She's just proudful to be wearing her costume.
Oh, how cute. Isn't that amazing? What's the moment in your journey that inspired you to do what you are doing now?
It was actually March 27, 2015. I was riding my bike in New Orleans, and a drunk taxi driver blew a red light and ran me over. And so I spent several months not being able to sit or walk or run or really do anything. And I was there, and my background is a CPA. So I sat there, and I had always sewn for pets as a side hobby. And I was like, you know what? I wonder if I can turn this into a viable business because I have nothing else to do right now. So as accounts are known to analyze to the nth degree, I researched the market around pet costumes and found that there were some major industry gaps. And that was my moment of inspiration of saying, hey, you know what? I think I'm onto something here.
Oh, my gosh. Had you not gotten run over, you may still be sitting in a CPA firm right now doing taxes.
Well, yeah, I found more joy in just researching pet costumes and dressing up pets, and honestly, more joy in giving back to my own community here in New Orleans through monetary donations and photographic donations.
That's great.
You don't quite get the same joy crunching numbers.
Yeah, you don't to most people. Now, for some, that's not the case, but that's just great. That's such a neat story. Oh, I'm so glad I asked that question. Wow. Allison, this has been it's been inspiring. It's been educational. It's been a fun conversation. We are out of time, but I know you're not out of wisdom or out of pet outfits. So for those who want to ask you another question or maybe see all your super cute pet costumes, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can go check us out online at petcrew.com, PetCrewe.com, or send me an email at Allison@petcrew.com, and that's Allison@petcrewe.com.
Sounds simple enough. That's great. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been fun. Now go out there.
Hey, thanks, Mary.
You're welcome. And find the next, I don't know, the replacement for the next unicorn best-selling costume. All right? That's your job.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All of us have powerful people in our lives, just like the one on today's Power Plug podcast. Our Power program is unlike any other in our region. At Fidelity, we're bringing amazing women together to be part of something special. We not only have banking and financial options with women entrepreneurs in mind, we also provide opportunities for you to make valuable connections and to promote your business. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Whew, wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you, just like we do.